Welcome to the Line Life Podcast. I'm Jeff Postlewaite of T&D World, and today we're bringing you more stories of the grit, courage, and inspirational teamwork that it takes to be a line worker.
Thank you for tuning in to the T&D World Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. My name is Amy Fishbach, and I'm the head of content for T&D World and also the host of the Line Life Podcast. Before I dive into today's episode, I invite you to become part of our Line Life podcast community by searching for the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app or going to linelife.podbean.com and clicking follow in the top right. We air interview-style episodes on the first and third Fridays of each month and also audio stories in our In Case You Missed It series featuring articles that appeared in our print magazine on the second and fourth Fridays of each month. If you have a comment on this episode or a suggestion for a future guest, please reach out to me. You can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Lineman World. I'd love to hear from you. Now let's move on to today's episode. Welcome back to the T&D World Line Life Podcast. For our last In Case You Missed It series for the Line Life Podcast, we featured the article, The Life and Death Value of Safety Oversight. The week before that, we featured part one of a two-part series featuring guest Max Fuentes of Fuentes Consulting about safety in the line trade. Today, I'm honored to present part two of this series, in which Max talks about what young aspiring line workers need to know to stay safe in the field if they venture into line work. To listen to part one of this series, make sure you go to linelife.podbean.com. And you can also check out our website at tdworld.com/safety-and-training to learn more about the safety-related articles and content that we have for our field audience. You can also go to our field-focused electric utility operations section, which is at tdworld.com/electric-utility-operations, to see all of our field content throughout the year. We'll also be launching a new page specifically for the 2026 International Lineman's Rodeo. And to learn more about what's going on this year, make sure that you subscribe to our Lineman's Rodeo News e-newsletter, which will start in September and continue through early November. And now here's a continuation of my conversation with Max Fuentes about safety in the line trade. Max, from your years of experience in the utility industry, what are some of your words of wisdom to say to the younger line workers out there to stay safe and get home to their families every night?
Okay, so one thing is you should always be in training. Always. You should tell your organization, we need training. Have really good standard operating procedures, standard work practices. Training should be an ongoing thing every day. Every day when you have a tailboard, you should pull out the procedure and talk about one procedure. You should have excellent tailboards. I mean, a tailboard is not hard. I also teach linemen how to do pre-job briefings and tailboards. Safety is the ultimate goal. It is one of the highest goals. There's three goals at the company: safety, quality, and production. Don't take shortcuts, but don't overdo it. I see guys, they go out and they do work, and there is so much rubber and protective cover, you can't get the work done. It's an overreaction by the safety department. And so there's a fine line. And what I tell people is particularly minimum approach distance. Like, oh my God, we got to memorize this formula for it's 25 inches, it's 3 feet, it's this, there's an altitude correction factor. You know what? Old school, reach, fall, or slip. If I can reach it, fall into it, or slip into it, cover it. There you go. That makes it easier in an inexperienced mind to understand. Great tailboard, communication, constantly training, following your processes and procedures, and understand the mission isn't to complete the job at the top of the pole. No. The mission is to go back home that night the same way you came to the job.
Max, that's a really great point. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I think there's a lot of focus in the line trade right now about working efficiently and really increasing productivity. But I know that line workers also must work safely and kind of put that as one of their top priorities. Can you talk about how they can put safety first in the line trade?
I go to conferences and I tell people, you know, I was talking to my old pole partner and I asked him, hey, do you remember that time 30 years ago when we were on this 4KV pole, it was 105 out, and hey, we decided not to install two or more covers, thought we could get away with it faster, you know, we thought we were better. He goes, you know what? I don't remember it. And the moral of the story is, hey, the fact that you think that you're going to have a better life by not having enough cover up there or not following a procedure or getting it done faster, you won't even remember that 10, 15 years from now. Just like the guy who cut you off at an intersection, you're not going to. All you have to remember is if someone cuts me off, I just take a deep breath and make sure that I don't get hit.
And Max, another safety concern that you've brought up is that you've seen places where they have young journeymen or apprentices doing line life work by themselves in a bucket with no observer. So Max, talk about the benefit of having a qualified observer in a situation like that.
You should have two qualified electrical workers in the vicinity of doing the work. If you're doing live line work on a pole or in a bucket, you should have two people there. And it should go like this. One observes and one works. And then you should have a qualified observer on the ground whose whole job is to watch you. So a minimum of three people doing that work. A lot of places, and I hate to say it, for my rural brothers and my southern brothers, they'll send guys up there and they'll just glove all by themselves all day long. Well, let me tell you something. If you're holding an energized conductor and you've got to do some re-rigging, you're screwed unless you have a second guy there or unless you're damn good at what you do and you've already thought about this and you're able to work that. We need to go back to one works, one observes. That's how we did all of our work back in the day. Back to climbing mechanics, get those climbing mechanics correct again. They're bad, and I'm seeing these bad habits being taught at these lineman schools.
And Max, you've also told me that the lineman post-secondary vocational schools shouldn't be 15 weeks. I know that you did that for about 2 years as far as training. Max, in your opinion, what are some of your concerns about having a training program that's 15 weeks?
To me, if you're hiring a brand new guy, he's not a lineman. He's not coming out as a lineman, no way. He's not even an apprentice. We need to say, you're a pre-apprentice, you're a groundman. It should be an onboarding process. You should think of the line school as onboarding for the future employer. And the way that would work for me to get more people into the trade is, shouldn't be $20,000 plus buy your own tools and all of that. It should be 1 month. And what you're going to emphasize is, can you get a commercial driver's license? Can you climb a pole? Can you work at height? You don't have to be perfect. We can teach you that. As long as you don't have fear, as long as you have mechanical aptitude, you can read and write and comprehend, that's it. I would eliminate the, you know, basic electrical theory. You don't need that as a groundman. You still aren't in the pipeline. I would go 1 month and I would make it so that you as a young person or your parent could pay the tuition with a credit card. If you have a $10,000 limit and that school is $5,000 and they should lease you the equipment, because you shouldn't have to go out and spend $2,000 on equipment that you may not use. It should be leased and inspected. If they can climb, they know basic rigging, they understand materials, they can read and comprehend and write, do basic math, and they can get a CDL. That's all you need, in my opinion. They shouldn't be in rubber gloves. They shouldn't be doing a lot of line construction work. They need a familiarization. What you need is you need an onboarding process that this person will be successful. Successful that they can go into the pipeline to become an apprentice. But 15 weeks, no, I'm against that. They don't need basic electrical theory. Yes, there's, you know, there's current, there's voltage, there's resistance. That's about all you need to know. You don't need to figure out complex parallel and series circuits. You don't need to vector or phasor transformer banks. You'll never use that as a groundman. You know, really, what you need as a groundman, you need to be young, you got to have a strong back, and we need to keep you physically fit and mentally fit and get you in that pipeline. You have 4 years to complete that process, and that's it. Get rid of the 15-week. I'm going to get a lot of hate from that, but trust me, 42 years, I already see the product that's coming out. The problem is, and it's very scary, is these guys go through 15 weeks, they get hired by a lot of these contractors and say, well, you've been through the line school, so now we're going to stick you up with 3 months into a bucket truck and you're going to be rubber gloving. Man, you're asking for fatalities and outages and property damage and catastrophic events. Nope, those guys are not ready. So there's that sweet spot. You get 15 weeks, they know about rubber gloves, they get on there, they know all these great things, but they don't have the experience, and they don't have the training, and you're putting them in bad positions.
So Max, for our Line Life podcast listeners, can you share a little bit more about the types of fatalities and injuries that you're hearing about when you're an expert witness? For example, what do you think is going on in terms of the incidents and accidents and fatalities in the line trade right now? And what do you think that people can do to prevent those?
Induction. Guys working in very high induced areas of transmission where there's conflicting lines. You've got 230, you've got distribution underbuilt that's energized. You've got 230, 115, you may have a 500 kV line 2 miles down crossing in conflict, parallel lines. I see guys that have holes in their rubber gloves, not installing and removing poles. I had one case where they cut the pole, it was head heavy. They broke the pole guides. It came down and it hit the foreman. Catastrophic event. I've had guys that are they're not using their PPE, their rubber gloves correctly. I see traffic incidents. They're not using the manual on uniform traffic control devices. I'll give you an example. I had one case in Los Angeles where there was 5 intersections, and the contractor didn't put out enough work area protection or didn't control the intersection. And you had an incident, you had an accident, right? Totally avoidable. Other cases where linemen have died because they didn't follow procedure, they showed up drunk, they went in and they started cutting wire that hadn't been de-energized and grounded because they decided they were in a hurry. And, you know, unfortunately, this was a journeyman lineman with 15, 20 years. Boom, he gets down there, cuts the wire. It wasn't de-energized. It kills him. Poor rigging practices, you know, doing a cut and kick in the middle of a very urban area and not securing the adjacent poles, you know, not looking, you know, the other poles on either side of where you're actually working, you know, you have to go through and you have to look at the conductors, the poles, the pins, to make sure that whatever strain that you're going to now impart on that conductor, you know, the other adjacent poles are strong enough to handle that. So underground issues, not grounding correctly, not de-energizing, not reading, you know, cable identification. I have cases where guys have made electrical contact or been killed because they relied on the tags that were in the area. Once they opened up the vault, they looked at the tag and they said, okay, that's the right conductor. And they go in, they go hands-on. You've got to test for voltage and you have to ground. I mean, that's just simple. That's basic line work 101. Well, the tags were wrong. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Those tags are an address, is what I tell them. The tags just tell you, am I at the right location? Doesn't mean that you're at the right cable. Because a human being wrote those tags out, and it may have been 10, 15 years ago. Other infrastructure was put in, and the tags weren't updated. Or they weren't updated in their GIS or their mapping. So there's a myriad of things. But if you stay with your operating procedures, if you stay with your safe work practices, you won't get hurt. If you follow those to the T, and that's why you always have to have a team of people.
Max, talk about the importance of working as a team in the line trade.
The reason those procedures and training are so important is because as a human being, you may have a bad day. And you're having a bad day. It could be that you're having emotional problems, family issues, mom's sick, dad's old, you got the kids, you got problems. Your head's not into it. You got to have that other guy that's sitting there going, hey, Max, hold on, we need to do this. I may need to turn to him and go, you're right. My mind isn't into it. We have to watch out for each other. That's the other thing, you know. When the problem is all these companies now, our trade is, oh, brother's keeper, brother's keeper, but then they don't follow it. You want to be your brother's keeper, then you better watch him like a hawk and follow your procedures. And, you know, be inquisitive. Learn more about the trade. Ask the older guy.
Max, for our listeners who may just be starting out in the line trade, what do you think are some benefits of talking to some of the more experienced linemen out in the field?
Here's the funny thing is a lot of times you get older linemen that aren't in in the tools anymore. They're older. You know, you get 45, 50 years old. They got maybe 5-10 more years to go. So you put them on project management or inspection. But did you ever think as a young lineman, tell me about that guy over there who's the inspector. Well, he used to be a really good lineman. You know, he got 25 years. Why don't you go talk to him? Ask him questions, because they would love to give you their experience. But sometimes you get to that part and it's like they feel like, well, nobody really values me anymore, even though I did all the storm work. I was one of those guys out there, but you're not a supervisor and you're not a superintendent or a GF, but you have a vital role. You know, you're looking at other things. And I used to go up to those older guys and I used to say, oh yeah, and we would have a rainy day. Inclement weather, what'd you do? Well, we had in the contract, we didn't go out to work unless it was an emergency. Go pull that guy aside, pick his brain, write it all down. How can we do this? Well, they might say, you know, Max, the reason that procedure is there is because 30 years ago, we had an accident and we had to create a procedure. And nobody knows the history of the procedure. Why is there? You get 30 years later, you go, that's kind of dumb. Why do we have to follow that? Well, because 30 years ago, we had a guy get killed. And that's why we do it. Well, now we have new equipment. So we engineered that issue out, but we still have that procedure. Well, who's looking at the procedures to update it? And there's only one guy on the whole dock who knows why the hell that procedure was written, because he was on the crew the day that it happened. So it's corporate memory. Let's get out there. Let's pick those brains. Don't let those guys walk out and leave you with a big hole that you have to, why reinvent the wheel? Why?
And Max, in part one of the series, you talked about wanting to present at the International Lineman's Rodeo Safety and Training Conference about work practices and wanted to hear a little bit more about that and how you think you can help some of the younger students and pre-apprentices and those starting out in the trade to keep safe.
I hate to tell you this, but if I am, you know, chosen to do a presentation at the safety conference on, you know, the old time solutions, I'm going to hurt some feelings. There's going to be some young guys out there that are going to hear their feelings hurt, but it's because I love them. It's because I don't want them to be hurt anymore. And, you know, I tell my wife, I hate being an expert witness. I hate it in the fact that it's just bad to see all these people getting hurt. I would rather have the majority of my consulting business be teaching and training. That's what I would love to do. I would love to just come into utilities, help them write the procedures, help with their training, sit in on their safety meetings, talk to the foreman instead of talking to lawyers. That's not the good thing.
I can believe it. And Max, is there anyone that you want to give a shout out to on today's episode of the Lion Life podcast?
Oh, you know, I just give a shout out to you. You have provided a venue for us to communicate. I really appreciate our interaction over the years. I think we're going on at least 15 years now, and you've always reached out to me. I've always had a connection with you and to the other guys. There's a lot of guys over there, like at Incident Prevention Magazine. There's guys like Jim Vaughn and Danny Range. You know, there's very few of us. My old coach and mentor, Scott Hilton, he also does expert wins. There's only about a half dozen of us linemen or guys who would have lineman experience. So I think we provide a vital, you know, action or process or resource for what's going on in the industry right now. And you need to just, before we are no longer able to do that or we're gone, reach out. We're here. We would love to just sit there and work with you guys.
And Max, how can our listeners find out more about you and your work?
I just updated my website. It's utilitysafetypro.com. And so I'll be constantly updating it. And then I'm looking at maybe putting together some YouTube videos. I'm just an old codger with as far as posting and TikToks and all that stuff. But I may jump into it just to kind of throw out on a little older perspective. And I got to give a shout out to a lot of the young linemen, you know, that are out there posting a lot of this stuff. They're showing some basic stuff and, you know, that's good. Get out there, but make darn sure that it's the right stuff. Stop posting things that are showing bad work habits. So that's what I think.
Perfect. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you today, Max, and I hope to see you at the International Lineman's Rodeo Week.
All right. You have a good day. Thank you.
Again, to listen to part one of this series, make sure you go to lionlife.podbean.com. And if you or someone you know wants to be a guest on a future Lion Life podcast episode, please reach out to me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn or message me at LymanWorld on Instagram. I'd love to hear from you and continue sharing the stories about safety and service in the line trade. Thanks again for listening. Until we meet next time, stay safe out there, line workers. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. Be sure to subscribe or follow the Line Life Podcast in your favorite podcasting app so new episodes will be delivered straight to you. For more insights, you can visit our website at tdworld.com/podcasts or linelife.podbean.com. You can also connect with us by following us on Instagram at LymanWorld or on Facebook, LinkedIn, or X. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Lion Life Podcast.